Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Big thank you to our guy, Grant Paulson, who joined us at about 10:40. If you missed any of that conversation, download the always free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature and go back to the 10:40 segment to hear my convo with Grant Paulson, who was out at Nats Park last night where the Curly W's have now won five in a row. Robert Hassel with a historic debut. Nats begin a weekend series with the San Francisco Giants coming up later this afternoon. Man, a lot going on. So I want to correct myself. Kevin, not back with you Monday because it's a holiday. I'm back with you Wednesday. Denton will be in the other couple of days.
It's true.
Okay, so I'll correct myself.
It's a busy week next week.
The schedule is scheduling is the best way that I would put it.
Sure.
I did not look at the schedule. Next week, next Wednesday, as you know, is the start of voluntary OTAs for the Washington Commanders. So that's where I thought I was going to be during the hours of this program, but that is clearly not the case. Anywho, from that to this.
You get to hang out with me.
I get to hang out with you. We get to have a time. We'll have somebody on from the park. It'll be tremendous.
Sure.
It'll be tremendous. Now, what I wanted to get to right now, speaking of the park and the old burgundy and gold, Commanders, as I just mentioned, first full team session available to the media is next week. So super excited about that. I know the guys have been working hard over there in Ashburn, including the quarterback who looks ripped. Can I get on that weight training program, please?
Right.
I mean, it looks damn good.
Like, I thought you were blowing smoke when we were talking about the neck thing.
Dude.
And then they put that picture out yesterday. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
All right.
He has definitely put on some weight. The one thing that always with quarterbacks, and this is just me being, it's me acting like Chris Russell, honestly, just being scared of nothing.
He's rubbing off on you.
You always worry, does accuracy or anything get impacted by adding arm strength and mass and muscle?
Because I think that happened to, I want to say it was Lamar. Because he
put on some weight.
He put on some weight, and then it affected like his throwing motion, and then he had to, in the next offseason, drop the weight. And that was, I think, a big story last year, going into the year.
And he's back to it. Now, here's the saving grace, I would say, for our pal Jaden Daniels. Already a better passer than Lamar.
True.
Sorry, Lamar.
That's true.
But I just think he's such an effortless thrower of the football that I don't think there's anything that anyone could do or that he could do that would mess up his mechanics. And I know, you know, from listening to his quarterback coach who's been on with John Keim several different times, they're so specific is the best way I
think you were about to say anal about it. Yeah.
But it just sounded
the context
of it was crazy.
But yes.
They hone in on the mechanics part of his game, and you know, it's so important and valuable to him that I don't think there's anything that can mess up his mechanics because it's something that he works on so much.
Constantly.
Every day. That being said, like him adding weight and mass, the days of you defenders in the NFL whacking him and he flies 50 feet are over. Okay, I'm so excited that he's putting on weight. He was such a badass last year, man. And every time I get to talking about Washington and Washington Commander football, I get geeked up for a good 30 seconds to a minute because it's like, damn.
We got him.
You know what I'm saying? For the entirety of my lifetime, we were chasing. Mm-hmm. We were chasing that franchise-altering guy.
Chasing now the dragon.
You know what I'm saying? Now the dragon is blowing smoke in our building, and it's been absolutely brilliant. I can't wait to see him and this offense take the field next year. Speaking of this offense, I think a couple of new pieces, right? Deebo Samuel added to the fold. Your first-round rookie right tackle, we assume, Josh Connerly, added to the fold. Former All-Pro Laremy Tunsil. Your fourth-round rookie, Jalen Lane. One guy that I have my eyes peeled for that I know the fan base is giving no shot to make the team and not giving him really any respect at all is Michael Gallup. I think Michael Gallup is someone, and I know that a lot of folks out there looked at that signing and went, eh? Over the hill, cowboy connection. You know, is that the reason we should be excited about him? The reason I think you should be excited about Michael Gallup, and this may be a steamy take, shocker, right? When people walk away from the sport, they do it for a reason. Everyone's got their own reason. It could be family issues. It could be health. It
could be Hunter Renfro, where you drop down to like 140 pounds.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It could be, you know, anything could cause you, you know, to have to move on. But when you have the drive and the work ethic to get yourself back into shape, and any athlete out there understands, a lot harder to get back in shape after you've already been the man physically, right?
Or so any of us, really. Yes. Yeah. Well, you and I both know.
Literally. Yeah. You and I both know very well. It's hard as hell. It ain't easy. So the fact that he has put in the requisite work to get himself onto an NFL roster, be a training camp body is what most of you are describing him as. I will go back to this. And Brian, our video producer, I know you can attest to this. When Michael Gallup and Noah Brown were in Dallas together, Michael Gallup, clearly the more decorated of the two receivers, clearly the better of the two receivers. I expect that to remain true this year in Washington. And I know Noah Brown was a godsend for us last year, right? Came out of nowhere in his first game action with this franchise. He won the game for them against the Giants, pretty much. That being said, Michael's faster than Noah Brown. Mike's got better hands than Noah Brown. He has always been a better receiver than him, so I would not count Michael Gallup out, especially if you were in the camp of one Noah Brown last year. Now, going to be difficult for Noah Brown, I would say, to replicate last year's success, because he really did come out of nowhere. The other thing he had a knack for was drawing defensive pass interference penalties down the field, led the NFL in defensive pass interference yards. So that's a stat that matters, especially with our guy, Jaden, who has an affinity for throwing the deep ball. With that being said, like, can he replicate it? You know who else I wonder, can they replicate last year's success? Aaron Schatz put out his most underrated starters at every position entering next year. And there's one commander that makes this list. One commander that makes this list. And it's a commander that
made the headline.
He's made the headline. Going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer when he retires. He's got Zach Ertz rated as the most underrated tight end in all of the National Football League. And there's a little blurb and excerpt. I'll tweet it out at NELL_BTP. Zach Ertz was big time last year. And I will never forget. This is why I say this industry that we're in, sports media, is the greatest profession ever. It's like we're weathermen. The only world in the profession where you can be dead ass wrong and get promoted, keep your job.
Yeah.
People think highly of you still.
It's pretty great.
I was in the minority, or maybe I was in the majority, I guess, when Zach Ertz was signed. I was sitting right here with my guy Chris Russell, and the news came across the ticker. And remember, they signed him before free agency started last year. So he was their first new commander. Mm-hmm. And that was our like intro to, you know, Adam Peters and Cliff and company. When they signed him, I rolled my eyes and said, why did we sign this old ass catch and fall merchant?
We're unmoved.
You know what I'm saying? Was unmoved. The needle did not move for your boy. I was not a fan of the Zach Ertz signing last year. Boy, did he make an ass out of me. Not only did Zach Ertz exceed expectation last year, every metric analytic shows that he was quite literally one of the best tight ends in football last year. And it's crazy because at 34 years of age, you just don't expect it. You just don't expect it. Now, the numbers aren't super gaudy, but they kind of are for a tight end. 66 catches, 654 yards, 7 touchdowns. And really, by season's end, was the safety net for Jaden Daniels and the guy in the red zone.
Yeah. Like, they had this unspoken kind of like
weird
mental connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because like Zach Ertz would, I mean, go out, hit the hitch, find a soft spot. Jaden would immediately find him. Boom.
Ball's there.
First down. Ball's there.
So their rapport was huge last year. And I don't think, and Jaden would attest to this, I don't think Jaden has the career or the rookie year that he had without Zach Ertz being Mr. Steady Eddie and so reliable for him.
Agreed.
A season ago. A couple of advanced analytics on Zach Ertz from our guy Aaron Schatz of ESPN. Ertz ranked 10th among all tight ends in DYAR, that's defense adjusted yards above replacement metric. This is the one that stands out to me because throughout the duration of his career, he was not known for this. Last year, he had an 85.7 run block win rate, one of the best among starting tight ends in the NFL. And Washington got him back on the chizzeep, as I like to call it. 1 year, $6.2 million. They didn't go out and address the tight end position in the draft or free agency. I didn't expect them to. One, they brought in one of their own, brought back rather one of their own, and John Bates, who we consider to be one of the best blocking tight ends in football. Zach Ertz has said as much as well. And they drafted Ben Sinnott in the second round, a year ago. So I didn't have this high expectation for them to add an outside piece to this room. One thing that we talked about leading up to the start of free agency was how much money Zach Ertz was going to be able to garner, because the numbers are pretty damn good.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The numbers are good. The impact on the team individually, I thought, would boost his figure up just a little bit. They got him back on a discount, as I mentioned. 1 year, $6.2 million. Incentive-laden deal. I obviously don't know the escalators in his contract, but the one thing that, you know, makes me enamored by him is Dan Quinn and company last year, they don't get enough credit for it. We keep talking about how the injury bug kind of escaped Washington a year ago. I don't think the injury bug escaped Washington. I think the preventative maintenance was some of the best that you're going to see across the NFL. And I remember training camp practice number one. The first thing that stands out, I just started sweating. You know, big boys out there. I got my long sleeve on. I'm working out there too, people. So I break a sweat and the whistle blows. And the way practice goes, the media runs from one side to the other so we can get lined up for our interviews. And the whistle blew hella early, it felt like. Their first training camp practice was 45 minutes. Why? They ramp up everything. Everything's a ramp-up period with this group. They leave no stone unturned when it comes to, you know, player performance, the preventative maintenance, all of that. I think, one, Dan Quinn is just super smart and gets it. Also, Josh Harris has made it very abundantly clear. There is nothing that I am not willing to do to ensure the betterment of this football program. And I think the training room got upgraded. The equipment in there got upgraded. So they were just better. And it allowed Zach Ertz, in turn, as we're talking about, to have a big year. Aaron Schatz has Zach Ertz rated as his most underrated tight end in all of the National Football League. I think it's for good reason. Here's the thing, though. When we're talking about Zach Ertz, let's be real about it, right? Last year, he was 34. This year, I believe he'll turn 35 at some point during the season. Got to look at the birthday to be exact. But at some point, you are going to have to find a replacement for Zach Ertz. I'm going to say a name that's going to piss a lot of you off, but I still keep him in my good graces because I think he's just a physical specimen. And I actually thought he had a pretty good camp last year. He had a big drop, though, in that preseason finale that I think got him cut. Cole Turner. And Zach Ertz will be 35 in November. November what, Mad Max?
November 10.
Ooh, 4 days older than allegedly the second youngest in charge. But no, last year it was very clear with Ertz that there was some juice in his step. He played really well. My question is, can he replicate that success next year? If you're somebody out there that has doubts or reservations about that, welcome to the party. It's not a slight or a jab at Zach Ertz. It's the reality of the situation. It's the reality of the situation. You can get at us in the YouTube chat as well. The Team 980's YouTube page is where you can check out the Kevin Sheehan Show live 10 to 1 Monday through Friday. Make sure you hit the like button, the subscribe button, and turn on the notifications to stay up to speed with all things DC sports. I want to read a tweet from our guy, Marcus Edelin, who says, Linnell, what you said about preventative care is going to restart Marshawn Lattimore's career.
I hope so.
I hope it does, too. In terms of, like, he is that chess piece for this defense that I think will really dictate whether or not
they're
an average unit or a really good unit.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Edelin also says looking for a big jump in Ben Sinnott this year. So the social team posted him the other day making a one-handed grab.
I did see this.
You saw that? It was similar to the NFC Championship game catch.
It was. But did you see Josh Norris of Underdog also put out?
Yes, him blocking.
Yes, a Ben Sinnott blocking weapon tweet yesterday. And I was like, interesting.
So here's the thing. When I look at Ben Sinnott and what he ultimately could be in his career, I think that Jets catch in preseason and the run after catch kind of
we had three guys on him.
You know, it changed how we view him.
Set expectations pretty high.
I think he's more John Bates than he is Zach Ertz.
For sure. I could see that. You know what I'm absolutely. Saying? Yeah. Because, I mean, when he came into the league, he was billed as like a Juszczyk type. And Juszczyk feels a lot closer to John Bates than he does
100%.
Zach Ertz. You know what I mean?
100%. So. That's real. Our guy Chike Kamara says, my thing about Michael Gallup is he was kind of injured frequently. Both Cowboys receivers that we have here are injured a lot, 100%. Mark says, Willingham, you're a G at this work. Keep it up. I appreciate you all chiming in. Look, on Mike Gallup here real quick, our video producer, who I'm guessing this is you that typed in via the Team 980.
Of course, it was Brian.
Says, Michael Gallup's knee was cooked food after that ACL surgery, and he lost explosiveness that made him a top-tier deep ball threat. I think that is fair. One thing about the ACL tear, I don't like to judge guys immediately following the clearance because there is you get cleared.
There's, like you said, a ramp-up.
Right, and I can speak to this. So I tore my ACL three times. Terrible luck. So the one thing I noticed each time coming back, and right now I actually feel the best, when you tear it, how they clear you is there's a set of hurdles you got to clear. There's a checklist, one of which is atrophy to your quad. They measure your injured quad to your healthy quad. I got cleared, but I still had about a centimeter and a half, 2 centimeters difference in atrophy. And some people are going to think that's nothing. You can be cleared physically, but you're still working to build that muscle back, which in turn translates directly to the explosiveness element of it. So maybe Michael Gallup, because he's a couple of years removed from being under the knife, maybe there are some steps he has taken physically, right, to get himself back to where he once was, as Brian alluded to, one of the elite deep ball threats in the National Football League. He used to cook our ass. Him and Dak used to go crazy against us.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, use members that, don't you, Mad Max? No. Bottom line is this, though. Aaron Schatz has Zach Ertz rated as most underrated tight end in the NFL. I think it's a damn good take. I feel like Ertz going into next year, our guy Mike Clay of ESPN projected a pretty sizable statistical drop-off for Zach Ertz. I think he only had him with like 483 yards, almost down 200 yards. And that makes sense when you consider the added weapons. Debo, Jalen Lane, hopefully the running game's better. So maybe there are just less opportunities for him. Maybe Ben Sinnott takes a step forward as well. But I think as we sit here today, he is your best red zone weapon. Zach Ertz. I know Terry, it ain't no slight to you. We'll get to you coming up at noon, brother. But Zach Ertz, the body control, the body posturing, the use of leverage, it just came up huge for this group last year. He got robbed against Pittsburgh when they didn't give him the centimeter ball spot that they should have given him.
Kind of got robbed against Chicago on a touchdown that probably should have been called. But then again,
yes.
I was there, and it looked like a touchdown to me, but yeah. I also could very – my brain might be changing the memory in my head.
Yeah. But no, he was a huge part of this offense last year. I expect him to have a similar role this year because they haven't necessarily replaced his role, so to speak, as that third down chain mover, that red zone guy. His stat line in the NFC Championship game was like nuts. And I get some of the catches came at garbage time to where the game was over.
Yeah, but he still balled out.
He had like 15 catches for 130 yards, something ridiculous. Yeah. So I think he's excited about it. I know there is a – he talked about it. Cliff reinvigorated him last year in his love for the game. So I know when that happens, guys have that extra motivation to put that work in. He's been here all offseason. I don't think he's left. He came out and watched the rookie mini camp practice last week, just taking stock in what the young fellas look like. Zach Ertz is here to stay, and I think he's going to have a productive, I don't know how productive, but I think he's a key part of the offense next year. Bringing up Zach Ertz, though, if you're going to bring up one old horse, you got to bring up the other. Bobby Wagner on this Commanders defense, another guy that's a little long in the tooth, really integral part of their success last year. He was brought back on a one-year deal as well. When we come back, I want to open up the phones here at 301-230-0980. Aaron Schatz has Zach Ertz ranked as the most underrated tight end in the NFL. If you're going to bring up Ertz, I want to bring up Wagner. Which Commander vet is most likely to replicate last year's success, Bobby Wagner or Zach Ertz? I'll give you my thoughts on that, plus take your calls next here on the Team 980.